Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's Monday, December 19th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're at page 50, the first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects, ending the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are 12 Steps, One East End, 12 Traditions, Shelley E. Readers of the text, Eileen M., Reggie O., and Shelley E. The reference number for Sunday, December 18th, is 19,763. That's 19763. And for this morning, Monday, December 19th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,764. That's 19764. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Juanice Ann to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice Ann. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Simi Valley, California. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Juanice N. And I'm now going to ask Shelley E. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. Excuse me for the background noise. A loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I apologize for the background noise, a house full of people. I'm Shelley E., and thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 50, the first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects, ending the spiritual side of life of fair hearing. We're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. I will now ask Eileen M. to begin reading.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people and sometimes used their shortcomings as a basis of wholesale condemnation. We talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. We missed the reality and the beauty of the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. Oh, can I relate to that? I'm going to comment on two things. The first one, I never really gave the spiritual life a fair hearing because, so long as I had the belief that my higher power wasn't giving me what I wanted, I wasn't going to trust God. And, you know, it never occurred to me that I can see now that I was getting what I needed. And, there's this quote out there somewhere that says, you know, trust the slow work of God. You know, it's like, I want things now. You know, I'm an addict and I don't have a lot of patience, you know. So it was hard to trust God at various times. And, you know, I had that belief coming into program that this higher power was not available to me or even interested in helping me because I was a bad person. And that was my conclusion. And, you know, that was hard to overcome that. And the second thing I want to comment on is not seeing the reality and beauty of the forest. And what that brought up for me was not seeing the good in other people. And I was too busy being focused on their faults. You know, and I've learned that when I'm judging other people and taking their inventory, you know, in most cases, I'm pointing out something in that person that I don't like in myself. And that person is just a mirror reflecting back to me. And, you know, now as a recovered woman, I take my own inventory, you know, in step 10, and I've learned to ask myself, okay, yeah, have I ever done what that person's doing right now? Have I ever said that thing? And, you know, in most cases, it's like, oh, yeah, I've done the same thing. And here I am judging them. It's like, wait a second. You know, it's exactly like it says, we were intolerant ourselves. You know, I talked of intolerance, but I was intolerant. So anyway, thanks so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen M., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I'll now take names of people who would like to share.
I'm Barbara, recovery overeater.
Wonderful, Barbara. Got you down. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Stephanie, recovered overeater.
Stephanie, very good. And what's your initial, Stephanie?
W, Stephanie W.
Perfect. Thank you. Who else would like to share?
Deborah G.
I heard Deborah G, and there were a couple other voices.
Kristen C.
Kristen C. And was there somebody else as well?
Liz A.
And Liz A. Okay, very good. Let's start with that lineup. We'll start with Barbara, followed by Stephanie, then Deborah, Kristen, and Liz. Barbara, go ahead, please share with us and give us your initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please.
I'm Barbara W. from New Jersey, Warren County. And I'm recovered today, and I came in November, and I'm happy to be a part of the group. What I wanted to share was on that paragraph she just read about the forest and the trees and the beauty. I was for one that was going to church, going to work, going everywhere. I'm 67, by the way, and I'm so thankful to God that he allowed me to see this program one more time, and I'm really serious about it because of my health, and not only my health, I want to be able to enjoy my grandchildren, and my health is along with it. But the beauty side, I didn't see that. I was going to church, being in the choir, being with the people in the church, worshiping, but I was eating junk. I would eat what they eat because everybody's not in this program. Until I realized that I had a problem, I had to step out and get back to the program and realize that I am a compulsive overeater from the age of 15 years old and always been. And I thought it was better so I can go on, just eat and not need to be in OA. I don't need an OA anymore. I had got a really big head about it. But until I begin to hit bottom and start getting sick, I had to realize that I have to bring the beauty back of this program. And the tree has got to grow. It's growing now, little by little. It's not always easy, but I got people I can talk to. Thanks for listening at me and letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. from New Jersey. Stephanie W., please share with us, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I'm a compulsive overeater. And the part that really stuck out for me was when it was read that we missed the reality and the beauty of the forest, because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me about how easy it is to see the bad things and what's wrong with someone else's program and always trying to take someone else's inventory. And that's something character defects is that seeing I could easily see someone else's problems and not give them grace. When I do the same thing and I want all types of grace and someone to really just overlook what I did that was a bad mistake, and it hurts my program. Not only when I judge another person, it hurts them, but it also hurts my program as well, because it lets me know that my focus is not where it needs to be, and my focus should be on my own character defects. And when I highlight my character defects, then I'm supposed to go to my sponsor or to someone in program and try to work on having those character defects removed. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie W. from Georgia. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Kristen C.
Oh, good morning, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Dawn, for your service and everyone that has made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here, especially during this holiday season. You don't ever have to live like you're living now. And I'm so grateful for all the shares so far, 12-step and me. Thank you, thank you. It's just, and it reminds me that I'm not alone and I'm not separate. That's what I learned when I'll never forget my sponsor telling me on my 4-step and my step work format to include the consideration question. Because I always would be looking at somebody else than looking at myself. I mean, that was just my nature, and it tends to be my nature now at times. You know, now I'm more accepting, and it's like a mirror, and whatever I do to someone, I'm doing it to myself. I'm not doing it to them. It starts with me. And when I looked at that consideration question with whatever I had, you know, a resentment about or fear about or whatever it was, you know, it took me to a place of compassion. I had compassion for that person and I had compassion for myself, you know, because it all begins with me. And, you know, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm hurting myself by my behaviors that happen when I'm in that place. You know, when I'm not in that acceptance, whenever I think someone should, they should, I should, he should, you know, any of that, I'm just in an expectation. I'm not in reality. I'm not in harmony. I'm not in compassion. I'm not resting and relaxing in God's love. I'm not connected. I don't want to be separate. I want to stay connected. And that's what connects me, is seeing whatever I see in myself in you. And whatever I see in you, I see in me. So I can stay connected. Connected to God and connected to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Kristen C., please share with us, followed by Liz A., and then I'll be taking some more names. If you're just joining us, we are on page 50, the first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects, ending at the bottom of that paragraph, the spiritual side of life, a fair hearing. We're sharing on that one paragraph today. So, Kristen C., please share with us.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone on the line doing service. This was a very pertinent paragraph for me to read this morning. One of my character defects is definitely cynicism, and I'm so quick to figure out the hypocrisies in people and then be completely turned off by it, and in religious institutions as well. And honestly, all that does is damage me, because I'm filled with hypocrisies as well. I mean, you know, we're all human. We're all human is the bottom line. We're imperfectly perfect. And so when I focus on those things and other people's character, I am putting up a barrier, a wall between myself and those people. I'm isolating myself more. And that is part of my disorder, my disease, is isolation. So it was just so helpful to read, especially this time of year. I do have a challenge with religious institutions. I do build resentments very quickly against them because of past hurts. And yet I still try to be a part of those institutions. And I'm trying very hard right now at this stage in my life to look past my own judgments, so that I can accept just being part of the human world, the imperfect human world, but relying on a perfectly compassionate, loving higher power. And I don't have to let people's foibles turn me off from my perfectly loving and compassionate higher power. And that's where I get everything all muddled and confused. I don't know if I made a bit of sense, but that's okay. I'm still trying to figure this out too. But I'm just so grateful for that paragraph. It really was like a God shot, just saying, you know, Kristen, chill on your judgment. I mean, just chill on it. And you're human too. Rely on me. Don't rely on humans too much. Rely on them to the point where you're not isolating. But don't expect perfection. That comes from elsewhere. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Kristen C. from New Mexico. Liz A., please share with us, and then I'm going to take some more names.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Hi, I'm Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Thank you, Dawn, so much for your incredible welcoming and also for the opening share. That was fabulous. And everyone who shared. I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish home, and my uncle was the most observant of all. And yet I learned early on that he cheated on his wife every chance he could. And that was my, all I needed to say, God, you know, what a hypocrite. The whole thing's, you know, a lie. And I used people, places, things. I used everything in this material world to try to fix me, to try to fix that empty hole inside of me. And, you know, nothing really worked. And I've started, one of the things that I'm struggling with today is physical pain. And I've started to do the set-aside prayer and setting aside everything I think I know about my body, the pain, my healing. And instead of looking for the doctor or a pill or, you know, whatever it is to fix me, I'm now looking and surrendering it all to God. And I want him to demonstrate through me his power and what he can do, because I know he can, you know. And I've learned so much in the short time that I've been here, you know, and yet there's still my head telling me, I know how to fix this. I know how to fix this. It's old habits. So I'm loving, wanting to surrender this to my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Liz A. from California. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Rachel R.
Was that Teresa R.?
Rachel R.
Rachel R. Thank you so much.
Jessica C.
Jessica C.
Laura D. from Tampa Bay.
Laura D. Okay, let's start with those three. I have Rachel R., Jessica C., and Laura D. Rachel R., please go ahead, share with us, and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, Rachel R., calling from California. I'm looking at this paragraph, and I'm just reminded of how far I've come. Definitely raised in a household where we took pleasure in identifying other people's shortcomings. So
Rachel R., please press star 1.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yep, we sure can.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. Thank you.
No worries.
Okay, so I'm just looking over the paragraph, and it's just reminding me of, like, how far I've come, how much progress I've made. I definitely grew up in a household where we took pleasure in identifying other shortcomings and doing their inventory. It was, like, literally like a well-honed skill or craft in a way. It was so good in terms of how bad we were. And I just remember being very intolerant of others and their shortcomings and not seeing my own, and definitely being diverted by the ugliness, you know, rather than taking in the beauty of another human being. Although I was, you know, raised with a quote-unquote religion, I didn't really have a higher power or an understanding of the spiritual side of life, you know, until I got to program. And I'm so grateful and thankful for that, because I'm definitely not doing wholesale condemnation, maybe retail, but not wholesale. So it's not as much, the condemnation is not there as often. But I just remember, like, how far I've come. I used to get sick by how, like, angry and hostile, you know, I could be with somebody else's shortcomings, and to the point where I could have made myself sick sometimes with migraines and stomach aches, being so angry at someone else for not doing what I wanted and not letting me control them and force my will on them. And program has really, really made a huge difference, in helping me overcome that. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I don't have to go through life angry at other people just because they're not measuring up to my, you know, unrealistic expectations. And so I'm just fairly thankful and grateful and feel very blessed to be here. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel R. from California. Jessica C., please share with us, followed by Laura D.
Hi, thank you. This is Jessica C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. This talk about focusing on the ugliness of the trees and not the beauty of the forest. Yes, that is a very well-worn rut for me. I can go to that very familiar feeling of feeling superior to other people by judging them, by taking their inventory. It gives me this feeling of, you know, self-righteousness. And it's sort of like, it is a lot like, you know, picking up my binge foods, because it gives me that immediate hit of feeling validated, feeling better than. It gives me ease and comfort in the way that the food did. But, you know, just like the food, it's very short-lived. It's, you know, a form of cheap intimacy. It's false. It's a false way of getting validation. And I need a higher power to help me with that, because I can wake up in the morning and my first thoughts can be judgment and condemnation of other people. So when I do my part, when I focus on, for me, you know, the focus on the beauty of the trees is when I focus on spiritual principles, and for me, that's focusing on gratitude, you know, humility, who am I to say how other people should be, you know, when I'm doing that, I'm definitely in self-reliance and not trusting God to take care of situations that I feel are wrong or where I've been wronged or that don't live up to my expectations. I had a family Christmas event yesterday, and it didn't live up to my expectations. You know, I wanted to relive the sort of glory of Christmas past, and this one didn't quite hit that same bliss point. But again, you know, it's because I was not focusing on the beauty of the trees. You know, it may not be my first thought to do that, but I know that I can focus on spiritual principles. I can be grateful for getting together with my family, for having food neutrality, to not having food be the source of my happiness at these events. You know, I can really look for how God was present at that family event, and I can experience the beauty of that. So yeah, that's all I had to share. And I will pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jessica C. from Canada. Laura D. from Florida, please share with us.
Hi, I'm Laura D. from Tampa Bay, Florida. And, yeah, this is something that I'm pretty good at myself, judging the thoughts of others, judging the motives of others, judging their behavior, their actions. Very judgmental and critical to avoid myself. And it's actually downright guilt-producing because after I do that, I know that I'm being selfish. And I'm really glad to be here at this meeting. I'm just joining OA. So this is my third OA meeting. And I've been through the Big Book Steps Study process, so very familiar with what we're talking about here. But need some help with my eating, so I'm seeking God in all different methods, trying to find where I belong in OA. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura D. from Florida. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We're on page 50, the first paragraph. Instead, we looked at
Hello?
The human defects. Yeah, just one second, please, and I'll take your name. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences, too. So who would like to share with us?
Rosemary, please.
Rosemary, perfect. And who else would like to share?
Terry D. from Virginia.
Roz G.
Terry D., Roz G., and I'll take one more.
Jen Z. from California.
Jen Z., perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, Rosemary, please share with us and give us your first initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please. And she'll be followed by Terry D. So go ahead, Rosemary, press star one. Star one, Rosemary.
Oh, hello. Hello.
There you are.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I'm Rosemary M. from New Jersey, but right now I'm staying in Florida. Tomorrow I'm going back to New Jersey. The thing is, one lady just said about an uncle cheating, and that happened to me right now. You know, I'm in Florida. I have a condo brand new, and I got a butt dial. I heard it was a godsend. I heard, and my husband cheated before. We went to a psychiatrist, and she said, you know, you can't always complain every day about it. You know, I work with couples, but I got a butt dial, and then, you know, I hear a girl in my house, and my son's in the army was away. So it was a godsend. But, you know, of course, I was heartbroken, and now I want to go for a divorce. But, you know, I could see that I snap and bitter, I think, due to this, you know, where it's not really, what would you say, really right of me to snap. But I guess my emotions, without God, I need to go to meetings every day at this point because, you know, it's almost like my Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Like, you know, I just go off, you know, because I am spiritually sick, you know, without this program due to this crisis that just happened again. But this is the first time that I ever, ever told anybody, ever. And I even told his family out of revenge. But, you know, I just feel sick about him and just sick about me that I'm not acting right, you know. Which, in a human way, it is kind of understandable. But, you know, then I'll just start crying. But definitely, you could, you know, you can't rely on people. You have to really, to get any inner peace and some comfort and strength and, you know, spiritual help. You need it really, really right from the source. And for me, it's God, you know. And without it, I'm a mess. Without it, I'm a mess. So I'm glad I came on this meeting. And almost I'm anxious, like now, like I said, oh, I have to make phone calls and tell people what happened yesterday, blah, blah, blah. But first and foremost, I have to start my day with a meeting or prayer to get
at this point, somewhat spiritually fit. And it does help the meetings, telephone meetings, in person, anything with spiritual help. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for moderating, and thanks for the people to be on the meeting to make all this possible.
All right. Well, thank you, Rosemary. And again, we're on page 50, that talking about that first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects. So go ahead, Terry D., please share with us, followed by Roz G.
Good morning. This is Terry D. from Virginia. I want to thank you very much. And this has been quite an eye-opener. I so appreciate all the shares. I definitely relate to the part about projecting all of my hostility and belligerence and critical voice onto others and onto institutions and onto religious affiliations. I have many, many opinions, and they can be very negative. And so when working the second time around with the fourth and fifth steps, and my 10 steps, which I need to do more of, I begin to see more and more of my own negativity and separation from God and from others and from myself. So I feel very devoted on a deep level with wanting to get closer to God, wanting to open my heart and open my mind to other institutions, religious institutions and affiliations, and to it's gradual, it's very gradual, but I do believe, you know, what the big book says, that, you know, men and women of religious orders are to be listened to. I'm grateful for the life of the Spirit, and I go in and out of it. I am human. I see we are all very human, but we are all also very spiritual. So there is great gratitude for the slow evolution, you know, taking one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back in this evolutionary spiritual process. Thank you again for being here, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Terry D. from Virginia. Roz G., please share with us, followed by Jen Z.
Good morning. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I have to admittedly say that I was a rolling ball of judgmentalism for many years of my life. Because as a little girl, I used to sit in my grandma's living room and watch her pick apart everybody on the television set. You know, their how their hair looked, how their face looked, how their body looked. And, you know, looks were just such a big deal to my family. You know, hair, looks, clothing. Just, you know, very big deal. It made up who we were. And beauty, that too. And in my Christian religion, in one of the churches I went to pre-program, the pastor did a lot of preaching and condemning other people. So I got to tell you, it took me getting into the step work and meeting people of other faiths and other ways of life for me to learn that we all live on God's green earth, we're all God's kids, and we all have a right to be here. And I've learned so much of godly behavior from the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and Overeaters Anonymous, than I have learned anywhere else in my life. Because when you go into these meetings and you see, you know, people, especially in AA, people who are desolate, but they're welcome and they're celebrated. And we go out, we go to any lengths to help these people, no matter where they come from, because our primary purpose is to have a desire to stop compulsively overeating.
I mean, there's some more depth in the longer versions of that tradition. But the gist is I'm here because I have a compulsive eating problem. And I understand you and you understand me. And it's not my job to judge who you are, how you look, what religious background you have. I believe that, you know, the leader of my faith would set an example of kindliness and love and acceptance of everyone. That is the attraction, not judgmental, pharisaical type of behavior. So it
Time.
Took me to have, thank you, and I'll just say a lot of deflation of ego to come to the place where I am, hopefully a person of love, kindness, tolerance. I stop. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Raz G. from California. Jen Z., please share with us, and then I'll be taking another name or two.
Hi, my name is Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia from East Los Angeles, California. Thank you so much, everybody, for making this meeting possible. I just want to share real quick on that line, missing the beauty of the forest before the trees. And, you know, I had a really negative experience with religion growing up. Very traumatic experience. And, you know, for a long time, I judged everybody on the actions of that one person. And this one person happened to be an Episcopal priest. And, you know, anything religious, any kind of, religious connotation, mention of religion, things like that, I was very intolerant. I could not stand it. I couldn't bear to talk about it, to associate with it or anything for a lot of years. And then, when I came to 12 steps, they said, you know, it's the power of your own perception. It doesn't have to be the higher power of the person that hurts you. You know, it doesn't have to be with, you know, the things that that person is espousing. It could be whatever, you know, you believe in your concept is. And that was a freedom. And once I received that freedom, I could, you know, develop an understanding of and a conscious contact with the higher power of my understanding. And, yeah, and then I could see the beauty of the forest, you know, and not judge the whole forest on just a tree, you know. So, anyway, it just struck me. I wanted to share that. So, thank you so much for the media service, and happy Ascendant Holidays to everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Jen Z. from California. And I'm now going to take couple more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So do we have one or two more people who would like to share? Press star one and let me know. On page 50, that
Deanna.
Paragraph. Oh, Deanna R., perfect. And one more name?
Agnes, you don't need abstinence to share, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, Agnes, A-G-N-E-S.
Okay, perfect. So, Dion, please take a two-minute share followed by Agnes.
Okay, sure will. Thank you. Good morning, all. My name is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio. I joined in the meeting halfway through, but I just needed a meeting to get on. And I'm like, okay, let's see what they read. Oh, and I said, oh, okay. Okay, judging and things like that. And but the part that stuck out for me when you mentioned what paragraph you're on this is, which many of our folks share already, we talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. We missed the beauty, the reality, and the beauty of the force because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of us. We never, never, ever gave the spiritual side of life a fair hand. I could say that was me, ditto, ditto, I was that one. But the gift is, I see so many, I was so judgmental, yes I was. And when something happened in life, especially society, my judgmental attitude went on steroids. you know, and the gift is I got to calm my butt down. I got my higher power. You know, I'm going to calm myself down. And see that there's so much beauty, even in my brokenness and even in someone else's brokenness. There's still beauty there. And which one I want to focus on? It doesn't make my reality or I have to go in denial. But I, because I want to be happy, joyous, and free, and sane, I look at reality, but I also love the beauty of the forest. Beauty is my second nature. I just love beauty. I'd rather take beauty over my ugly attitude. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dion R. from Ohio. And now, Agnes, please share with us and give us your where you're calling from.
Hi, Agnes from Southern California. I just wanted to share my gratitude for this meeting and this program. And my life was just out of control. My food was out of control. And I would pray to God and I'd say, I'm really tired of this. You know, and the voice I would hear would say, you know what to do. You know what to do. Go to OA, go to Vision for You, commit to meetings and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, but can you give me the strength to do that? Can you give me the strength to avoid my alcoholic foods and stuff like that, right? And I had, like, somebody else, people were sharing, somebody in my family just do something, let me just call it looting, after one of my sisters died and we were all gone, and I just, that just threw me for a twister. You know, I was just like, I will never be your sister again. This, that, and the other. And yet every night I'd say the Lord's Prayer and say, God, forgive me our sins as we forgive those who, you know. But fortunately, I had a sister in a program, and she kept on saying, go get emotional stability. Go get control over your food. Go back to a program. And then I hear all the talk this morning and the reading. You don't see the forest for the trees. And I'm like, God, have I been judging this person? I shouldn't take her inventory. You know, and since I started coming to meetings, I've just been struck abstinent, and I'm looking for a sponsor. I think I've found one. I just need to connect with her. So I'm so grateful for the magic that happens here and the eye-opening and the new lens to see through, you know, and to just, like, focus on what's important, be reminded, and to know where the power to do that comes from. So thank you so much for letting me be of service and to share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Agnes from California, and to everyone who shared, and for Eileen M. for getting us started. Just a beautiful meeting today. Thank you to everyone. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Reggie O. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Dawn, and everybody this morning. Great shares. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered in the hills outside San Antonio, and our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.